Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It's gone from suck to blow.
What?
You know, Troy, one of the things I think is really important is really being honest with yourself, really assessing where you are in life, and basically making the requisite changes to get yourself to where you want to go. You mentioned this earlier. This is a pivotal time for Paxton Lynch because this organization has got to be looking at themselves critically, saying we need better from the quarterback position. And this is your opportunity. One of the things that I used to tell young players when they first got in the league, I used to tell them, you know what I want you to do on your day off? I want you to meet me over at the facility. What? It's my day off. I don't want to go to the facility. No, I just want you to meet me there one morning. I'll be in there, you know, I'll be getting some ice, I'll be doing some rehab, I'll be doing what I need to get done to make sure that I'm ready to practice on Wednesday. But I want you to meet me over there on Tuesday morning. You know why? Because I wanted to see young players' faces when seven or eight guys were in there from other teams that didn't have jobs that were working out. Because the perspective is this, man, they're always looking to replace you. This is a business. All of a sudden, you're a young tight end. You're on the practice squad. You think you've made it. And seven other tight ends roll into the building for a workout.
On Tuesday.
On Tuesday. Yeah. I mean, that's eye-opening. That's shocking. And for Paxton Lynch, you had better realize, you had better understand that right now, they're looking. They're looking at Teddy Bridgewater. They're looking at Matt Moore. They're looking at several other guys because they understand what they've seen from you isn't good enough. So this is a pivotal time in your career for you to go out in these preseason games and show the growth, show the maturity, show the leadership, show the ability to make a difference at the backup quarterback position. This is your opportunity. You failed to win a starting job. This is your opportunity to save yourself, save your career, and be a backup for the Denver Broncos. And if you go out there and you look like you're playing in sand, you go out there and you make mistakes, you go out there and you put the same dreck you've put out there for the last 2 years, guess what? You're going to be looking for work. All right? And you'll be getting your cleats on the grass in some other stadium. Or you won't be getting them at all. You'll just have tennis shoes on the pavement. That's what's going to happen to you if you don't have some awareness about where you are. So Saturday night, I want to see it. I want to see balls in the air, and I want to see cleats on the grass.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
I had no idea where I was going with that. I didn't know how to close it, Troy.
It's that 18.
I got a little call. Oh, it's training camp. Day 11.
Joking. 18th,
I'm joking.
18th cup of coffee you got going. You're like a ferret over here, bouncing off the walls.
Simmer down, man. But seriously, the awareness stuff, right? You got to have awareness. You got to understand. You got to understand kind of, you know, your lot in life, so to speak. And you've blown your chance. You know, the thing that bothers me, like you talk about Aqib Talib having the soundtrack of the defense. Like when I see Paxton Lynch, and this is unfair, but it's kind of what I see. Like the soundtrack that goes through my head is, like you're just going through life and unaware of your surroundings. Is what's going on with you? Like, do you understand that they're about ready to dump you? You are the 26th overall player taken in the 2016 draft, and we're talking on a consistent basis that they're about to dump you. Do you understand that?
At least it wasn't the Benny Hill soundtrack you heard when you watched him. Could have been worse. Here's the thing that I don't understand, because self-evaluation is critical to an athlete's success. Understanding what it is you don't do well and improving on it. And it's hard sometimes, to be honest, when look in the mirror and go, man, I'm just not good enough in this area. If you're Paxton Lynch and you were hurt at the end of last season, and every time you see ESPN or a local newscast, John Elway and crew are out scouting quarterbacks.
Right.
They're up at the Potato Bowl in Idaho watching Josh Allen.
Hey, be careful now.
I'm just saying, that's not an easy trip to just say, okay, we're going to. If that didn't drive the point home that every time you looked up, They're heading out to see Baker Mayfield. They're heading out to see Josh Allen. They're heading out to meet with Josh. Didn't that send you a message? Like, it ended up Case Keenum, so it's easy to say, well, I'm not going to beat him out. They were looking to draft a young guy who was going to come in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part. You got beat out by a seventh rounder, and your reaction was shrug shoulders, like, oh, I did my best. Ugh, okay.
Yeah.
And now, as the season ends in your second year, every time you look up on the tube, you see your general manager out scouting quarterbacks. Like, dude, what else do you need to see? It's like if your girlfriend's out, you know, looking at other guys and you're at home, you're like, well, she's looking to replace you.
Right.
She's not so happy with you. She's out looking around for another guy.
Right.
They're out looking for a quarterback who's a rookie to come in here and start.
Right.
That should have been the ultimate freaking crowbar to your face. Like, I better wake up.
Right. When your girlfriend's sitting on the couch, you guys are watching a show, and she's got Tinder open, swiping right or left. Is Tinder, is that one of those? Oh, yeah. You look at Duff like, how would I know? I've never heard of such a thing. Yeah. Isn't that the hookup app or something? Isn't that what that is?
That is it.
I do not have that.
You're fine. I'm fine. Everything's
fine. Yeah, I don't have that on my phone. Duff, you're younger than me. That's why. You wouldn't have it, but I'm saying you're younger, so you're hipper. Maybe Millennial Ben. Tinder?
Millennial Ben, a lot tougher than I thought.
Is that the hookup app, Millennial?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. So
Millennial Ben probably uses eHarmony.
But you speak of, like, Troy, you talk about awareness. Like, okay, so Elway and the staff are out, you know, watching scout the potato bowl with Josh Allen, as you mentioned. They're out working out Baker Mayfield. They're out in the rain. You know, everybody's gaga over Sam Darnold. Remember when he threw balls in the rain? Like, oh, no, I'm not canceling my pro day. I'm just going to sling it here in a rainstorm. On and on and on. And this is the awareness issue that we're talking about. All this is going on, and I see a video that Paxton posts of him dunking. You know, like, hey, dude, I know you can dunk. Like, you're 6'7". I hope you can dunk. And, by the way, nobody's questioned your athleticism. That hasn't been the issue.
Never been the question.
Right.
Never been
I would question. Have rather you posted a picture or posted a video of you doing algebra equations. Like, that would have meant more to me than you dunking a basketball.
Yeah, like go to Halloween as Goodwill as the star of Goodwill Hunting, just carrying around a chalkboard.
Right.
And it's funny you say that because he posted a couple videos on IG that were, I thought they were spoofs. I'm gonna be honest.
Uh-huh.
Because there's like a jazzercise class going in the back, and he's like running through cones, and I'm like, wait. Are you trying to like make fun of yourself here, like self deprecation?
Right.
Whatever. But when Case Keenum broke down the Minnesota Miracle whiteboard,
yeah.
It's fascinating to me. And you live this, so
yeah.
I mean, you've grown up in that. But he's breaking down why this guy's the most important, why he wasn't going here because of three plays earlier. This guy dropped off, had to get to a certain spot because the linemen were tired, and this, and I mean, it literally is like 25 scenarios to this one play working. That's what I'd want to see Lynch doing. When I watched him on Gruden's camp, you know, the quarterback camp. And I watch all those. I find them fascinating. I mean, I'd like to watch that and then compare to the guy now. Has there been real progress? Because, again, in this league, you can have all the hardware you want. You're not going to succeed without the software at quarterback. It's
right.
A cerebral position. You can't overpower this league at the quarterback position with physical talent. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you, I don't care who you are, whether it was Michael Vick, whether it was Steve Young, whether pick the greatest athletes at quarterback, you can't overpower it without the cerebral part.
You certainly can't, and that's the part that has been tough on him. And, you know, it's your ability to process information, your ability to make a quick decision, your ability to read a defense and read what's going on, and then deliver the ball accurately. You've got to do it all. I mean, it's a really hard thing to do at any position, but especially at the quarterback position. And we have got to see Paxton Lynch make some strides. We've got to see him play well. We've got to see him. You know what we've got to see? We've got to see him perform from the pocket. Like to rip a ball down the middle of the field with a combination route where you're like, man, he made the right decision. He ripped it down there, and that is great. That's what we need to see. The other thing we need to see different players that are under scrutiny step up and play well for the Broncos. We did this earlier. We got through two of the five that were listed in fanside.com players, five players that need to play better in 2018 for the Broncos to have a chance to be competitive in this division. We'll go through the next couple coming up next.
Mark Schlereth here. When you're looking to replace your windows, you want the best. That's why I endorse Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. They sell Infinity from Marvin fiberglass windows. You can't buy Infinity windows from big box stores, so you know they never compromise on quality. Infinity fiberglass windows offer unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and durability. So call my friends at Gravina's Window Center of Littleton, 303-794-0490, or find them online at windowsforyourhome.com and make sure you tell them Stink sent you.
Hey, welcome back. Schlereth and Evans from UC Health Training Center live with Troy Rank. I am Mark Schlereth sitting in for Mike Evans as we hang out here at Broncos practice. Practice starts in, I don't know what time it is. So what time is the Broncos? About an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Something like that?
No. 9:30. 7:15. They're just starting to file in now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what happens to me. Math is hard. It's always been hard. You know what else is hard? It's always hard to predict kind of what's going to happen in the future with this Broncos football team. I think here in Denver, we feel pretty good about, you know, the changes that they've made, the players that they've acquired. We feel pretty good about where they are right now. But an interesting article, fanside.com, listed the five guys that must improve for the Broncos to improve. And we talked about the first two players on this list of five. We talked about Jared Valdir solidifying the right tackle position that has been nothing short of a train wreck for the last couple of years. You mentioned Donald Stevenson, Menelik Watson, Michael Schofield. So Valdir is a guy that is going to be required, or a guy that they're going to ask to fill that void that's been really, really tough. And then Darian Stewart at number four. Last year, Darian Stewart dropped off. His play dropped off. They got rid of T.J. Ward. The communication really struggled. And you look at 2015 and 2016, 32 total touchdown passes given up in those two seasons. Last year, 29 touchdown passes given up by the Broncos. Darian Stewart, a guy that needs to pick it up. Okay, number three, Garrett Bowles. Garrett Bowles is a guy that didn't have a lot of football experience. He played at a JUCO, then he played for a year at Utah. They drafted him in the first round. Exceptionally athletic, Troy. I mean, I would pound for pound, I'd put Garrett Bowles as one of the best athletes on this football team. And I'm not saying that. I'm not flippant when I say that. I mean, this guy is an exceptional athlete. As a football player, he needs to learn how to play football. He needs to learn the nuance of this game. He needs to start to understand how to use his help and how to set guys up and how to make sure that he funnels guys into situations, defenders into situations where, you know, they're going to find traffic and all those things. He needs to play a lot better than he did a year ago, 14 months after he was drafted. What say you about Garrett Bowles?
Again, the athleticism is not a question. This is a guy, they called him the Big Lizard last year.
Uh-huh.
He is now heavier. Maybe I think it was a thin lizard, but he's a lizard-type body. He's crazy athletic. He's going to try to play at closer to 310 pounds this year so he can anchor better. But we are still seeing some of the inconsistencies, and you forget that he hasn't played much football. The problem is his age. I mean, he's not a traditional rookie, so the clock is ticking a little differently with him than others. You know, he's not a 21, 22-year-old kid. But I agree with you. As many questions as we have about the right side, they need consistency from Garrett Bowles on the left side. And he still struggles at times with that. And some of it's recognition of plays. Some of it is just on what the guy's trying to do to him on the opposite side. And you would hope with Ron Leary next to him and a year under his belt that as this season goes on, you just start seeing even play where you don't notice him. That's my goal, I mean, for him, if I'm him. Because last year there were games he was good, and there were games like in the Washington game, Ryan Kerrigan had his way with him. So they need consistency. out of that position. They're going to protect him. Right. You would agree, Mark, they can protect him some through scheme this year, too.
Well, yeah, and through how quickly you get rid of the ball and doing all those different things. But he needs to start understanding, like I said, the nuance of the game, a five-step drop where you can be aggressive and you can change your set. You can't always hit the same kind of set point as an offensive tackle, because what you end up doing is you end up giving defensive players, basically the answers to the test.
Yeah, cliff notes.
Right, and you've got to change that up, and that comes with experience. And the problem with athletic players, the problem with exceptionally athletic players, is you know what they've always relied on? Athleticism.
They get away with it.
Then you get to the NFL, and guess what? Everybody's exceptionally athletic for the most part. You have to beat guys with your understanding of the game, with your football, you know, your football character and your football understanding, and that's something that he has to do. The reason you get holding calls, the reason you get penalties, is because you're out of position. You're trying to react as opposed to setting guys up and making sure you know what you're doing. Okay, the number two guy on this list, Troy, and I think this might be my number one guy on this list with fanside.com, Devontae Booker. Devontae Booker needs to be better. I just don't know that Devontae Booker is going to get better. I just don't know that, like, I don't know that I look at him as almost exactly the opposite of the way I look at Garrett Bowles, meaning Garrett Bowles has got to have better football understanding to go with that athleticism. You know, I think Booker's football understanding is probably okay. I think it's the athleticism. Like, I think even when you start to be patient, you say, I'm going to set up a block. Do you have the explosion to get through the hole? Do you have the quick twitch to get that done? Do you have the feet to make that happen? And I just don't know that that's part of his game. I don't know that he has that. Like, there's a reason he barrels in the line of scrimmage and gets a yard and a half or 2 yards, because maybe he just doesn't have the explosion. So he knows he doesn't have the ability to kind of set a guy up and then explode through a hole, because that hole closes so fast. But that running back position, Devontae Booker, whether it's Booker or whether it's Freeman or somebody else, they need to be significantly better at that position.
Well, to your point about Booker, he's never had a run over more than 20 yards. So he hasn't shown that explosiveness. That's just the facts of what the statistics bear out. He's looked faster at times with better knowledge of the offense, but he's got to show it. He's in prove it mode. What might protect him, honestly, is not running, but pass protection.
Mm-hmm.
He might start the season because they trust him in pass pro.
Yeah. All right. So number one guy on this list from fanside.com, Brandon Marshall. Middle linebacker, Brandon Marshall. They say that he just needs to be better. He needs to, you know, better in pass coverage, more physical at the point of attack, all these things. What do you think about their assessment that Brandon Marshall needs to play that much better?
He does need to play better. I think Brandon would tell you that. And part of his issues were last year he played with a torn labrum, rotator cuff issue in his shoulder. Basically, the last 13 games of the season, he played hurt, and it got progressively worse. So I thought he had, and when considering in light of that, he had a okay season for him. His issues have been in coverage. He's gotten lighter. He's dropped down to about 227, 228 pounds
mm-hmm.
to help him in coverage. But Josie Jewell is going to push the envelope this year.
Right.
It would not surprise me if you see Josie Jewell in the game on some rundowns. And let's be honest, Brandon knows. He's a smart, smart guy. He understands it's a critical season for him going forward, because he starts to make big money as you move forward. I mean, that's just, you get to that crossroads as a player. We liked you, but we liked you a lot more when you weren't making big money.
Right.
You know? So I just would disagree with this list that he would be the number one guy that has to improve. It's all offense with them for me.
Do you have a number one guy? Somebody that's different from this list, or
no? I just reorder that list, and Marshall wouldn't be on it, frankly. But for me,
yeah, I think Marshall is interesting because, as you mentioned, he has a shoulder injury. He did tell me Josie Jewell in the couple days he practiced. He goes, "This kid is so smart. There's
yes.
a reason he made every tackle at Iowa, because he's there before. Like, he diagnoses it just based on formation and based on look. He diagnoses the play before it even happens." But Brandon Marshall, I'm with you. I thought Brandon Marshall, obviously, on this list with the injury and stuff, I think there's a reason, not an excuse, but a reason why he had a bit of an off season last year. I think he'll bounce back. Who's your number one guy on this list?
I would have ordered it as the tackles together, Bowles and Valdir. I mean,
right.
Case Keenum is the big question, let's be honest, but he can't step up necessarily because he played great last year. But I would, my first three guys on that list would be Valdir, Bowles, Booker. Like, it's all offensive guys. Because they don't prove offensively. It really doesn't matter what we talk about their defense, because the offense undermined the defense a year ago.
Yeah, there's no question about that. They certainly did. Now, I'm going to tell you, one of my favorite sayings is, don't tell me about the pain, show me the baby. That's next in Four Down Territory.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
I'm very confident. I wouldn't have went out on that practice field if I wasn't going to continue to just work hard with the training staff here. Just going to continue to strengthen it, you know, get more stability and gain more confidence as the time goes on.
That is Jets quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. And a report came out, Pro Football, I think it's Pro Football Talk came out with a report that the Jets are open to trading Teddy Bridgewater. They love what they've seen from Sam Darnold. And obviously Josh McCown's one of the great backup quarterbacks, one of the great mentors out there. Teddy Bridgewater, Troy, is he a fit here in Denver?
He could be. Again, there's so much on the line for Paxton Lynch in this preseason game. And could one game really change what we've seen the last 2 years? That is a fair matter for debate. But the reality is, you have to say, if you're the Broncos, you have to ask yourself, Mark, if Case Keenum were to go down for 2 to 3 weeks with whatever injury, we never wish that on anyone, could Paxton Lynch hold it down and compete? He won one game in his career at Jacksonville where they didn't have a first down in the second half. They won in spite of him. Let's be honest. Bradley Roby had a pick six. It was one of the ugliest games I've ever seen live. My cornea still bleeds from having watched that game. But do they need, could he be a fit? I think a veteran quarterback, ultimately they're going to make a decision that, yes, they're going to need one to protect themselves if something were to happen with Case Keenum.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Second down.
He's got to get out of here and play better.
Yeah, he's got to get out of here. He's in a competitive situation. And right now, a lot of the other receivers have had a nice camp. He's just got to learn the offense. He's got to stay out here. He's had some illnesses. He's got to get on the field. He's got to master the offense and become more versatile. And that's a key to making this team better.
Yeah, and that's John Gruden talking about Martavis Bryant, the former Steeler who had some issues with the Steelers. They got him in this offseason, and right now John Gruden saying, man, he's got to learn the offense. James Jones came out, former Raider wide receiver, saying that Martavis just doesn't understand John Gruden's playbook. Does not look good. He's a big physical kid, man. He's a great athlete, but not picking up the offense. That's one thing for John Gruden, man. You had better understand what you're doing, because John Gruden doesn't play that.
Well, I think Gruden's finding out why Martavis Bryant was available in trade.
Yeah.
I mean, there's reasons when you watch that talent and go, why would they ever give up on that? And then you get him in your building and go, oh.
Yeah, that's why.
That's why. He's never on the field. There's always an excuse. He's been suspended multiple times, and now he's not getting the offense. So.
Right.
Sometimes it's buyer beware.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh had enough guys to where you say, okay, Martavis, all you're going to do is run a nine. Like, all you just run fast and try to lift the top coverage. And, you know, when you're asking a guy to do multiple things, sometimes guys just flat can't get that done. Next in Four Down Territory.
Third down.
Kamara checks in. He's the tailback in the eye. Just one receiver split to this side, and that is going to be Coleman. Here's Kamara. Slips a tackle. 10, 5, touchdown. Is he special or what? A 20-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, he is special in more ways than one. Alvin Kamara, special football player, Pro Bowl running back for the New Orleans Saints, comes out and essentially says, we would have beat the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, if we'd have won that game in Minnesota. You know, hey, if my aunt had, you know, hoo-haws, she'd be my uncle. I mean, that's always one thing that bothers me. Don't talk about what you would have done. Go out and do what you need to do.
It's adorable.
Right. You guys didn't do what you need to do. I just don't understand that. Hey, if we would have done this, like, we'd have been world championship. We'd have been a world champs if we'd have just done, you know, X, Y, and Z. Well, you didn't do X, Y, and Z. So I don't understand why you talk about it, Troy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like having coach kids, you deal with that too, that you don't want them to fall into that, play the victim and make excuses. Oh, if the ump hadn't done this, or
right.
if the sun, if the weather hadn't changed, if there hadn't been a delay. I mean, it's like, listen, you had the same platform to win the game. You didn't win it. And in the case of the Saints, they paged Dr. Heimlich. They choked. They choked. There's no other way around
right.
it. You can't lose that game in that situation. You make a tackle.
I'm joking.
You make a tackle, keep a guy in bounds. At the very least, you force like a 65-yard field goal. I mean,
right.
Come on. That's on you, Saints. And I love Kamara as a player. He might be an all-pro this year. Stop talking about things you didn't do because you didn't do them.
You're 100% right. And it's always driven me crazy. Like, I've always come from the school of you didn't – one play didn't cost you a game. There's a series of plays that happen during the course of any football game or any game for that matter where had you made them, it wouldn't have led to that one play that cost you the quote-unquote game or the it wouldn't have come down to a last-second opportunity. What you have to do is you've got to make the most of every opportunity, and I've always been coached. It's never one game that cost or one play that cost us this game. We missed multiple opportunities to put us in this point at the end of a game where we needed to make one tackle, and you couldn't make the one tackle. You know what? Don't put yourself in a position to be in a game where it's one tackle away from winning the game. Like, don't put yourself in that position. How about that? Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Brady takes the snap. Back on his. Fires up. Catch made by White. Trips to the inside. Dives across the goal line. Touchdown, Patriots.
There's one.
That little Patriot sound right there as the football season essentially kicks off tonight. We've got 12 preseason football games. The games don't count. They do matter. It matters how well you play. This weekend, Paxton Lynch gets a chance to rectify some of the sins of the past, if you will, by going out and playing well. There's a couple of games that really intrigue me on this roster. How about Buffalo Bills and Carolina Panthers? Kelvin Benjamin leaves. He goes to Buffalo, and he instantly talks trash about Cam Newton, not understanding the offense, not being very accurate. Probably is correct in everything that he said. But here's a guy that can't show up in shape. Comes in. He's a wide receiver that weighs 245 and is got a boiler. So
maybe right message, wrong messenger.
Right, exactly.
There's been that criticism of Cam for years that again we talk about relying too much on athleticism. And he won an MVP, though. His resume is much greater than Benjamin. Would Benjamin have been better with an Eli Manning, a Roethlisberger, a Peyton Manning? I mean, you could say that about a lot of receivers. But the reality is that's a fun game now. There's a little bit of juice to that game.
Right.
Because Benjamin aired him out. And
yeah.
Cam pretty much put him on blast on IG, kind of making fun of him. So we'll see. We'll see. It's preseason's the problem. But
right.
It does add a little bit of spice to that game.
It certainly does. One of the games that I'm just looking at the schedule right now, how about the Cleveland Browns at the New York Giants? You get the number one overall draft pick in Baker Mayfield, the number two in Saquon Barkley. I don't know how much either of those guys are going to play, but I did watch the replay of Hard Knocks last night, and I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it.
It was a little underwhelming for me, but I've watched all of them, all the seasons, so I have the prism for which I view it is based on previous years.
I haven't watched one since the Jets did theirs.
The Jets was the best because Rex Ryan was out of control.
Right.
And he was funny, and you could just see the train.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
And that's the Ravens one with Sharp, Ray Lewis, entertaining. The Cincinnati Bengals one with Ocho Cinco was. But I'm looking forward to seeing Mayfield. He does show the swag in practice. He inspires confidence in his teammates. Will that continue to translate in the preseason? And Saquon Barkley, I mean, he is this year's Ezekiel Elliott. He's a guy people are expecting to throw out a 1,500-yard season. I don't know if that's realistic, but the expectations for him are enormous.
Yeah, I don't know how many guys are going to play, but New York Giants were awful last year. I'm looking forward just to seeing the improvements they've made, especially on the offensive line of the running game. It'll be interesting because that's a team that I think has the pieces in place to surprise. And I don't think you'll see OBJ, but I think they have some pieces in place to surprise a few teams and make a great turnaround this year compared to what went down last year, as they were as dysfunctional as any team in the league. Ben McAdoo getting fired, Pat Shurmur going over there to take over as the new head coach of the New York Giants. Hey, you love a good ranking, don't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, everybody loves a good ranking. How about a great power ranking, a preseason power ranking from the quote-unquote experts from Bleacher Report? Huh? Where do the Broncos rank? Always a good question. We'll talk about that next. Schlereth Evans, Mark Schlereth, alongside Troy Rank as my sidekick, my partner today, live from the UC Health Training Center Broncos facility as Broncos practice set to kick off here in, hour and 45 minutes or something like that. Hour, I can't do the math. It's too hard. It's I just can't do the math. Anyhow, so they're going to kick it off at 9:30-ish. How about that? Ish. Throw an ish in there, then an hour and a half-ish. 2 hours, whatever it is, they're going to be kicking off here pretty soon. So we've got that going for us. It's absolutely a beautiful, gorgeous day if you're coming out to practice. Today is the last day of practice before the first preseason game, which kicks off on Saturday versus the Minnesota Vikings. Ton of preseason games going off today. But Bleacher Report has put out their first ranking, preseason ranking. They rank it each week and they change their rankings. Three of their NFL analysts put together this this whole ranking system, and they go through the team by team. So I guess I would ask you, Troy, just you haven't seen it yet, where would you think the Broncos are going to rank on this 32-team ranking of Bleacher Report?
I have seen it, but my guess prior to seeing it would have been 2021 is where I thought it might come in.
Okay. And so the Broncos come in at 18. So pleasantly surprised with the ranking?
A little surprised. I've seen them as low as like 24, 25, 26 in some rankings. They're giving a huge bump to Case Keenum. I mean, there's no way around it because they went 2-10 their last 12 games last year. They were the worst team other than the Browns. And they're saying here they're basically middle of the pack.
Right.
That is a huge bump to Case Keenum in the offense.
Yeah, one of the things they say here, one of their analysts says, I don't believe in Vance Joseph. He wasn't qualified for the job in the first place, and he was a bust as a rookie head coach. I'm not convinced in Case Keenum's 2017 campaign wasn't an aberration, and it's clear the defense can no longer do the heavy lifting all on its own. This team could surprise, but there are a lot of potential problems on the roster. I think it's pretty fair that there are a lot of potential roster problems. I think the Case Keenum thing, the thing that bothers me about the Case Keenum, and you and I haven't talked about this, Troy, Mike and I have talked about it, but you and I haven't really talked about it. The thing that bothers me about the Case Keenum is, you know, was it an aberration? Can he repeat it? Like, you're almost treating Case Keenum like, one, he had been in the league for 4 years, and he got three starts, and it was his first three starts ever. This is this is like 15. Well, he didn't start the first game. He came in the second game. So he essentially started 15 games, if you will, during the course of the regular season, plus, you know, two playoff games. This is not like it's not like the A.J. Feely that came in and got a big contract on three games that he started, or who's a backup quarterback, Matt Flynn, who came in for the Green Bay Packers and put together kind of a historic game, I believe it was against the Detroit Lions, and then the Seattle Seahawks signed into a $10 million contract and he got beat out by Russell Wilson. It's not the same thing. Like, this is a guy, one, had been in the league for 7 years, right? I mean, he's been impressive enough that when he became a restricted free agent in St. Louis when it was the Rams, and then later with maybe it was Los Angeles, either one, they put a first-round tender on the guy.
Right.
I mean, this is a guy that's played quite a bit of football. He played quite a bit of football with the Rams. So it's not like that this is a three-game set where nobody, like everybody played vanilla because they didn't know what he was. Everybody knew what he was, and he still was able to perform. 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and completed the second highest completion rate in the league behind Drew Brees, who set a record, an all-time record at 72%. He was, I think, 67%+ completion percentage. So, you know, I keep getting this from a lot of national people and even Mike, who has said, well, it wasn't an aberration. I think that's too much. That's too much of a sample set to say, hey, it's an aberration.
There's roots there. Could he come back and regress? Yes, he could, because, again, the statistics are an aberration, but he'd never had an opportunity like that either
right.
with a decent team. I mean, the reasons he's played well, he's evolved as a quarterback. The reason I would tilt toward it not being an aberration, having seen how he practices, how he's seen how he works, talk to people that had him in Houston, and then talk to people that had him now, he has evolved. He's not like the same guy they had on the Houston practice squad that fell into an opportunity and just played well. He played well because he kept preparing and improving during this time of his career. And I see that on the practice field.
Uh-huh.
Now, is he 22 touchdown, 7 pick guy? I don't know that. I've said with Mike on the show that if he has fewer than 10 picks, they're going back to the playoffs for the first time in 2 years.
Right.
If he has a 3-1 ratio touchdowns to picks, they're going back to the playoffs, you know, within reason if he plays most of the games. So I don't have the doubts. Initially when they signed him, I had more reservations than I do now, having seen how he works through May, June, and now at training camp. I can see, and I think, frankly, they'll tell you privately, he's exceeded their expectations. And you got him for a number that's less than what Brock Osweiler signed for with Houston. So to get him for $25 million guaranteed, a guy who could solve the biggest issue on their team and give you some stability there, I mean, if it goes right, it would be one of the best signings of the offseason. I don't know that it's that, but I also don't think he's going to regress back to being a, quote, backup.
See, I don't either. And, you know, and I'll go back to the one season where he got significant playing time. It was with St. Louis in 2015. Or actually Los Angeles with, he started 10 games in Los Angeles with the Rams before, and he had a first rounder, breathing down his neck in Jared Goff, and he went 4-5 in that season, completed 60.9% of his passes, Troy, 2,200 yards, 9 TDs, 11 interceptions, and did that with a Rams team that frankly, one, had a horrible offensive line, had no real significant weapons. They drafted Tavon Austin in the first round, who is a gadget guy at best, couldn't run routes, was inconsistent in his route running ability. Now they did have a great running back in Todd Gurley, but again, Todd Gurley had an off season that year. It wasn't his rookie season. He burst onto the scene. That season he was limited to some degree. So, you know, I would look at Case Keenum and say he did those things and completed almost 61% of his passes with very marginal talent around him in Los Angeles with Jeff Fisher and the Rams. So again, I get where people are coming from, but that ranking to me is like it's a fair ranking, but I don't think people have given Case Keenum enough credit.
Again, we'll see. He has been better than advertised in camp, and
right.
Now we get to see it in a game. There's a lot of pressure on him. He said when he goes out there in the preseason game, he's got to take a deep breath. He's got a lot of things on his mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of this is his first time where he's had a job where he doesn't have to look over his shoulder. I mean, he started briefly with the Rams, but you always knew
right.
that Goff was going to play. And playing in an offense with Jeff Fisher is the equivalent of a fish riding a bicycle. I mean, you got no chance. And so I don't put any weight in what happened with him in L.A. because their offense was dreadful.
Right.
They made the Broncos' offense last year look functional, which it wasn't.
Right.
We'll see. Again, Keenum with Bill Musgrave, four receiving threats. Again, the concern for me is still I got to see it more from the offensive line and who's the running back going to be. Those issues need to be answered.
They do. And now the rest of the AFC West pans out like this. They've got the Raiders sitting at 24, which...
That's fair. They
yeah.
have trouble there. Trouble's brewing there. I know you like your guy Gruden, and I like him as an analyst. I don't know John, but they got issues. And if Khalil Mack doesn't show
right.
up, my word.
They can't get their number one guy signed, and you know what? You need to pay that guy. That could be a train wreck. 12, Kansas City comes in at 12. Still, question marks there as well. Defensively, a few question marks. I think, you know, you got rid of your number one corner, the guy that turned the ball over for you on a consistent basis, and you're going with Patrick Mahomes, and I understand he's got a big arm and he's got a lot of upside, but you know what? Usually, there's some teething pains that go along with that big upside, and we'll see exactly that. And then the Los Angeles Chargers sitting at 10 right now. Most people have them picked to win the AFC West. Who's number one, Troy? Do you know? Did you look for number one?
I didn't look. I would assume it's going to be the Patriots or Eagles.
Wrong on both counts on this.
What?
They've got it. The opponent the Broncos are playing on Saturday, the Minnesota Vikings, they have at one. They have the Los Angeles Rams at two. They've
Wrong.
Got the Philadelphia Eagles tied with the Rams at two. And then they've got New Orleans at four and New England at five. Obviously, they skipped number three because they had a tie at two.
I think some of these pools, and I get it, as a writer, you like to challenge the thinking, but that's just wrong. There's no way you're putting the Saints above the Patriots. You're going to put the Rams above the Patriots. I mean, every year they fall into the AFC Championship. And the Rams now have to deal with expectations with some chemistry issues. How does that all fit together? And you paid a bunch of guys that weren't on your team, and you don't have Aaron Donald in camp.
Right.
They have issues, and Sean McVay is younger than about 10 other players now. We'll see. It's a lot easier to come out of nowhere with no expectations than to now be in L.A. where all the pressure's on, that you're the show. We'll see if they can prove that. Vikings defense tailed off at the end of last year.
Yes, it did.
If their defense tails off and Cousins turns the ball over, that's the one thing I'm curious to see, because I get the Cousins thing. He's really good athletically. Physically, he's better than Keenum. I get that, but he also turns the ball over. And Mike Zimmer just kept waiting for Keenum to turn the ball over last year so he could bench him. And he never did until the NFC Championship. What is he going to do when Cousins has a three-interception game?
Right. Although Cousins has consistently been like 27 TDs versus 11, 12 interceptions. So he's been pretty good in his ratio. The interesting thing to me is Cousins has played in one playoff game, and they lost that playoff game. The Skins, I think it was to the Packers, if I remember correctly. The Seahawks, that's right. But they lost that. They lost that playoff game. Or maybe they did play a playoff game against Green Bay, won that, and then they lost to the Seahawks. However it is, he hasn't played a lot of playoffs. They haven't gone to the playoffs a lot in Washington. And all of a sudden, you've got a playoff quarterback in Keenum that you said, hey, listen, man, he is pressed up against glass ceiling. We don't like him. I'm a Cousins fan. I like Kirk Cousins. I think Cousins can play. I wanted Kirk Cousins here. I don't know that I wanted him here at $84 million, but I wanted him here. So interesting to me that the Minnesota Vikings rated number one, and you're right. Best third down defense since 1975. Yeah, that's what they had last year.
What are the chances they duplicate that? See, I would say zero.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think all three levels, I think they're a very talented football team. We're going to get to see them firsthand here on Saturday night as they take on the Denver Broncos. And hopefully, I mean, what is your feeling? Do you think we'll see Case Keenum? Do you think we'll see a couple series of Case Keenum? Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I think they'll each play a series, if not two. You know how that depends. Like if it's a three and out, a guy might get two series. It's usually on a play count. You know, they like to see the first string offense get 10 to 12 plays in, you know, and on both sides. And Cousins most definitely needs to play because he's on a new team, too. You need to get some chemistry going with those guys. I mean, you can't, and again, if he's 38 and you're holding him back for injury, but look for both those quarterbacks to play one to two series. Then it becomes Paxton Lynch versus Trevor Siemian, and then likely Chad Kelly versus Kyle Sloter. It's a fascinating preseason game in terms of the storylines
really
for quarterback. I mean, Vance said, you know, it's not. We're working on what we do well. And I get that. That's coach speak. But from a viewer standpoint and a listener standpoint, to have three quarterbacks that all have ties to the Broncos and then Cousins, who was their top target initially, it's a fascinating game.
I know that they say that they're not paying attention to it, but I just think human nature, you got to pay attention to it. By the way, if you want to get a hold of me or Troy in question mark, brought to you by Ramos Law, the ramoslaw.com text line, that's 303-713-1043. Again, 303-713-1043. If you want to get a question for me or for Troy, it's question mark coming up, brought to you by the Ramos Law people and the ramoslaw.com text line. But, Troy, like human nature, if Trevor Siemian came out for the Minnesota Vikings and it's twos versus twos and he comes out here and he orchestrates and they put a couple of drives together and he looks really good and Paxton doesn't perform, I think it becomes kind of a twofold equation. One, you're going to compare Trevor to Paxton, but you're also in your mind going to compare what Paxton, or the lack of success Paxton has had in practice against the number two defense versus what Trevor Siemian has done in the game against the number two defense. I mean, you can't tell me that in your mind somewhere you're not evaluating that as a coaching staff, as a front office. I mean, I just think that's human nature.
Well, the irony is this, and I know why they blew it out and they moved on from the quarterback room with Brock Osweiler and Trevor Siemian. Siemian profiles as a better backup here for Case Keenum, as a guy that's won. He basically has a 500 record as a starter that you could put in for a couple weeks. You know he'd be prepared. Like, he profiles as a backup. Mm-hmm. Lynch, the problem is you don't know that he'd be ready. And they even admitted, even when Rick Dennison was the coordinator, that they basically had to tear sheets out of the playbook because he couldn't run it. And that's the issue we're bringing up here. Not is he Paxton athletic, not is he does he have potential, but is it time to move on in terms of viewing him as a backup? Because I don't see a scenario, Mark, where Chad Kelly enters the season as a backup. I don't see any scenario that happens. Either Lynch is the backup or they trade for a veteran that allows you to keep Kelly as number three. What you could trade for a veteran and keep Lynch and then Kelly's gone. I mean, but I don't see any scenario where they go into the season where Chad Kelly's the number two. And that really has nothing to do with Chad Kelly. I just don't see him going into camp, into the season with their backup quarterback having never taken an NFL snap.
Hey, listen, I agree, and I think there's going to be, I really do, I think there's going to be a veteran quarterback in camp, and I think it's going to be sooner rather than later.